The views expressed and the opinions given by the individual host and their guests do not necessarily reflect those of ParaX, its affiliates, or its sponsors. Your source for everything paranormal, ParaX.
Hey, this is Dustin Perry from Ghost Hunters, and you're listening to Dave and Mike on the Odyssey Files. It's not the best show you're ever going to listen to, but it's also probably not the worst.
Oh! Kim, what are you doing?
Well, I'm telling Mike and Dave, it's time to get on the show.
Oh, well, the Odyssey Files starts now.
Coca-Cola.
Good evening, ParaX. I am your host, Michael O'Neill. You are listening to the Odyssey Files. It is 7:01 p.m. Couldn't get on the server in time to hit the actual 7 o'clock button. But that's okay. With me, as always, is my co-host, Mr. Dave Soering. How are you tonight, Dave?
I am ecstatic that it's Monday. Had a great weekend. And got a great guest on tonight.
I was going to say, usually the ecstatic and Monday do not go in the same sentence.
No.
But
if it was just you and I talking and we didn't have a topic and we were just kind of like plow our way through it, the word ecstatic would not have come out of my vocabulary right then and there.
I would have been like,
it's Monday, blah, blah, blah.
But because we do have an exceptional guest tonight, Mr. Chip Coffee, how are you tonight, Chip?
Sick.
Yes.
And I don't mean my normal, you know, mental whatevers. I've got a horrid cold that would you like to know where I got this cold from?
Yes, I would.
Yes.
I won't mention any names, but the initials are Adam Berry.
Or AB. Yep, we got it.
Yeah.
Or AB for short.
Adam Berry are the initials. Adam and I were hanging out together a bit last week, and he was sneezing and snotting a bit, and he shared the germs with me. And so as I said to you before we went on air, I feel like about 10 miles of bad road. So I will let you guys know that I came very, very close to letting you know that tonight was going to be a no-go because I did feel kind of rotten, but I'm soldiering through and here I am with you.
And we are all the, yes, exactly. And Dave and I and both of our listeners really, really appreciate the fact that you are here.
Oh, yeah.
Especially me.
Yeah.
Especially me.
You. What? I appreciate it.
What do you mean? No, I know you appreciate it, but I can't speak for you. I can only speak for me, and I really appreciate it.
Oh,
I appreciate it too.
That's why I said I was ecstatic. So I appreciate it too.
I'm ecstatic.
You're not.
Chip, just right before the show, Chip did find the mute button on the speaker. So
I have to sneeze or blow my nose or anything like that.
Right,
I might disappear briefly,
but
I'll reappear. I'm like a bad fart. I might go away for a while, but I'll come back.
let me just go on record as saying, though, Chip, is that your coughing and sneezing is probably still far more entertaining than most of the stuff Dave and I will come up with in normal.
Okay, I'm sorry for you, but okay.
So. Chip, first topics. Now that you've been on the show a couple times, it's not going to be any more of the, well, tell us how you got into the paranormal. None of those questions anymore.
Nope. Well, we already determined that my career in porn didn't go well, so that's kind of
the guess. So, yeah, we're done with Chip Coffee the early years, and now no more softballs. Now it's fast pitch baseball time.
Uh-oh.
And so we have multiple questions and stuff that we would like to discuss with you.
Oh, Lord. Wait a minute. Let me fasten my seatbelt and take some meds before we get into this.
I know Dave has some stuff that is actually, I to me, is pretty important. So I'm going to let him start.
All right. So, Chip, question for you. I've got a client that I'm working with right now. All right. It's grandmother, mother, and daughter that live in the house. It's the oldest house in this city, in the state of Minnesota, in this particular city, not in the whole state. But for the last couple of years, the grandmother has seen clearly a red fox walk out from behind her chair that she sits in and watches TV, and walk in front of her and turn and go behind an ottoman, like a tall ottoman. About the beginning of this year, so probably about 8 months ago, the granddaughter started seeing the same thing. And within the last 6 to 8 weeks, the mother witnessed, had two episodes. One, she saw a partial fox, not the full thing, but partial. Grandmother and granddaughter are seeing it completely full. And the other thing she had is it came up and it rubbed against her arm, and she thought it was the cat, like the cat's tail. But the cat was sitting. The cat was sitting on the TV tray by the television, and there was nothing else by her. So there's other things going on in the house, but I think that this red fox is a major point of what might be going on. So have you ever had anything like that that you could share some light for me?
Well, I've had animal spirits come up in investigations that I've done, but I've never heard of a fox.
Okay.
You know, I think that's curious. I always say you got to do your due diligence to investigate thoroughly, and that is checking for EMF levels in the house, checking for carbon monoxide levels in the house. Those are things that are very important to do, especially with cases like that could be hallucinations perhaps caused by something or something causing a mental disturbance. I say it's very curious. What are your thoughts on the whole fox thing?
Well, I took a look. The only information I could find on the fox is you go back to kind of the Native American aspect of it, and it's considered to be a like a foreshadowing of something to come, is kind of the impression that I got. So it didn't necessarily say a good event or a bad event, but it was more or less summed up as a, there's going to be like a major type of event that's going to happen. And this, and the fox spirit, in its keenness and its kind of slyness, if you never see it, but if you do see it, it's kind of a foreboding thing to see. But I'm not taking it as a negative thing, because I've been to the house now multiple times. There's no outstanding high EMF fields. There's no outstanding carbon monoxide, high levels of CO2. The thing that really interests me is that the grandmother saw it and has been seeing it fully, and then the granddaughter saw it, and now the mom's seeing it. I have not seen it. But I've seen other things in the house, and I've heard other things in the house.
All right, and so I'm going to interrupt you for a second.
Yeah,
anything that is negative going on, anything that is malicious or malevolent, that is in any way disrupting the normal flow of daily activity for the family and its and whoever's a resident in the place.
No, subtle things. I mean, they see they're seeing fairly regularly two small shadow figures that seem to run behind an old bar set, it's almost like one of those old antique stand-up radios.
And not necessarily a bad thing.
No, right. And I said the same thing.
People get weirded out over shadow figures, and that may be as far as an energy is able to manifest into the third dimension.
Right.
So shadow figure does not always equate to something negative. I often tell people that call me that if you're not having malicious or malevolent activity going on, and I ask people frequently about, has anyone been harmed either mentally or physically, and that includes animals in your home, And I ask people a lot about smells. Have you had any sort of vulgar, ugly smells in your house, like fecal odor or the smell of rotting garbage or necrotic flesh or anything like matches being struck, that sulfur smell?
That sulfur smell, which would be a lead into something negative, right?
Which could be, which those to me, my bells and whistles start to go off when people say yes to those things or they describe them without being asked.
Okay.
But again, if you're not dead people, dead animals, spirits, let's put it that way, are everywhere. So if the activity in your house is not negative or malicious or disruptive, chill out. You know, I know it can be unnerving to some degree, but there's nothing bad going on. You're not being dragged into the pits of hell. You know, you're sharing your space with something. And if you want it to go, try reclaiming your space. Try banishment rituals, whatever you've got. We all know that in this field, there are so few absolutes. And there's not very many prescriptive methods that work in every case. So I tell people working in the paranormal, sometimes you just got to try everything till something works. So, you know, with this family, you may never be able to explain what the fox means. I mean, the first thing that strikes me is dumb like a fox. Okay. You know, that's an old saying. You know, maybe it's something smart. You know, continue to monitor it. But, you know, the old lady's seeing a fox. They're seeing a fox in the house. Oh, well, that's cute. But, you know, it's we may never know what it means.
Okay. Yeah, I don't take this as being a negative thing. They approached me because they're concerned for the daughter. She's only 8 years old. She's being approached on a fairly regular basis, touched, spoken to, woken up, stuff like that. The mom just wants to make sure that it's not something that is trying to harm her daughter. And that's why I got the call. So, and I don't see that happening.
It doesn't, so. You haven't told me anything that gives me any indication that that's what's going on.
Okay. And I didn't feel that way either. But the fox kind of threw me for a loop. So I was just curious if you knew any.
Yeah, that's a
if
new
you
one
had
on
seen
me.
It.
I've heard cats and dogs.
Yep.
But not a fox.
All right.
Could it be their spiritual animal? Because, I mean, you mentioned Native American.
I was taking a sip of my soda here to keep from coughing. It could be, you know, who knows? People believe in totem animals and spirit animals and things like that. I don't know. I don't know. Unless the fox decides to go, I'm here to as your spirit protector. You know, I don't know.
Right.
sorry, it's just it's really hard when you bring up a fox not to ask what it says. Just putting that out there.
What does the fox say?
So sorry, I had to be the child here, but it has to be done.
Well, now you know what I got to do. I got to get a copy of the song, and when I go to the house next time, I'm going to play that and set a recorder a couple rooms away and see what happens.
Wow, I wouldn't, but that's just me.
I had a lady, you'll get a kick out of this, I had a lady call me up once on the phone for a phone reading, and she paid me a sizable amount of money. And I said, so tell me who it is you want me to reach out to. And she said, Snooki. And I said, oh my gosh, I wasn't aware that girl on Jersey Shore passed away. I didn't really say that, I thought that. But yeah. I said, and who is Snooki to you? She goes, my dog. And I'm not the best animal communicator. I mean, I can feel things that animals are feeling sometimes. And certainly I'm more in tune with my own pets because I'm around them all the time. But I don't know that to me, others perhaps, but to me, your animals are not going to talk like we're having a conversation now, so to speak.
Right.
So I said, you know, I just sense that your dog is fine. You know, I don't think there's anything you really need to know about your dog. And I explained to her about I'm not the best animal communicator and that there may be somebody better to fit her needs. And I was going to refund her money. And she said, well, I had to have Snooki put to sleep. And I just want to know that she doesn't hate me for having done that. And I said, your dog undoubtedly knows from what I'm sensing that you did it out of caring and compassion. and she's crying. And she goes, well, what is Snooki saying? It took every ounce of strength I had in me not to go, and now Snooki is dragging her butt across the carpet.
Yeah, leaving stains.
And heaven. Happy as a little Shih Tzu could be.
There you go.
Do you find it that maybe for the general public and general society that they don't quite understand your abilities? I mean, I'm just talking about mediums and psychics in general.
I don't understand my abilities.
Well, I mean, but that they don't understand what you can and cannot do. Because, I mean, I don't understand why anybody would ask.
Do you know how often on social media I get, well, you should have seen that coming?
Yes.
You know what my response to that is? The second word, it's two words. The second word is you. Can you get the first word?
Yes. Yes, I do.
Yep, I think I got it.
It's kind of like yuck foo.
Right.
Yes.
Yes. And I have my dog behind me who's coughing for me. Hear this?
Yeah.
And now she stopped. But, yeah, and people give me the lottery numbers. Or I had someone once, I'd given them lots of information from their dead relative. Where you really are talking to him, have him give me his AOL password. His AOL password is yuck foo.
Type that in, see what happens.
Yeah, try this. But yeah, I think people do sometimes think that psychics or mediums know everything and that we can get all the answers. That's way above my pay grade. You're getting into the whole divinity thing then. That's a much higher consciousness level than I have. So I don't know everything, and I'm the first to admit that I don't. I'm only as good as the answers that are provided to me, and for whatever reason, sometimes I don't get the answers.
Okay, so I'm glad you brought that up, because it kind of leads right into one of the topics that I want to do, and I apologize, Chip, right now for bringing this up. I know it's going to get you going, but, oh, very nicely done. On the mute button.
That was good, wasn't it?
That was very good. But you are a huge, I see your Twitter feed almost every day. And you're a very huge proponent is for, right?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay,
advocate,
so opponent.
Advocate,
proponent, right.
But,
yep.
But you are not an advocate for the President of the United States.
to put it mildly. Honestly, I would prefer not to get into political stuff.
Well, it wasn't going to stick with political.
I would have to say, excuse me as I cough again. I think that our country is having some major problems right now. Let's just put it that way.
The reason why I brought that up was not so much to talk about him, but you have mentioned many times on Twitter how Spirit told you about what was kind of going to happen with the election. You have said multiple times that they told you he was going to win, and that there were dark days ahead.
That is true. And it came to pass. I mean, I didn't publicly say that, but I told it to lots of people that are in my private circle.
Right. But what? I guess I want, maybe just personally speaking, because I'm with you on that one, Chip. Have they said anything else, or did they say anything else just beyond that? Because I know you're trying to, I know you made it as vague as humanly possible, and I appreciate that. But that was all they said?
That's pretty much all they said. I'll tell you the whole scenario. Shortly before the election in November of, when was it? 16? 15? 16. It was 16. I was going upstairs to my bedroom to take a shower, and as I stood near my bed, I heard a voice say inside my head, Donald Trump is going to win the election. And I went, oh my God, no. And I was not 100% Hillary Clinton by any stretch of the imagination, but I was pretty much 100% anti-Trump. And I said, what does that mean? What does that even mean? And the response that I got is there are many dark days. There will be many dark days ahead for the United States of America. And that was the end of it.
Why do you think they gave you that warning?
I don't know. I think probably to prepare me for not having a mental breakdown.
I can completely understand that as a protection. I mean, but do you get warnings like that often? Or
no, I'm not one of those people that wants to know about. I've sort of made some agreements with my spirit partners. I mean, I don't necessarily want to know when disasters are going to happen because, quite honestly, what am I going to do? I'm going to call the FBI and they're going to think that I'm either a terrorist or that I'm involved in it or that I'm a wacko. They're just not going to take me very seriously.
Right. And you're going to feel horrible knowing what's coming. And then you're going to have to live with that anguish and that pain.
So
that
what
you know.
I do is I try to send out as much positive energy and prayer as I can.
Yeah.
Gotcha. All right, that was it. That was the only thing I wanted. I didn't want to talk about that topic any more than just that. I found it interesting.
You know, and I do. You know, I'm very I choose where I say my political stuff on social media, and I'm very vocal on social media. I have a real problem with some of the things that are going on in our country, and I'm fairly vocal about it. And I know I've made some enemies, but I've got a lot of support behind me, too. I think a lot of people are disgruntled and unhappy with. We've lost our moral compass as a country to a great degree. I mean, I can't understand how people can forgive someone or multiple people who just don't seem to have common decency and morality. I just don't understand that. And really, that's no excuse. We've always been a country that tried to be proud of our leaders. And it's very difficult to do that right now.
I remember... and I'm gonna tie this in because there's a follow up question I'd like to ask about that. But I heard one guy, I was talking politics with, I think, a former coworker of mine about how they could get behind. It wasn't Trump. It was somebody else. But he said, I don't care about what he does or says. I only care about how he votes. Like that. That was it.
So basically, it's okay. I'm just going to ask this hypothetically. It's okay to be immoral, to have no ethics, to lie, to do anything that's reprehensible as long as you're going to, I don't know, what's the tipping point?
Agreed. 100%.
Trump said I could go out on Fifth Avenue in New York and shoot someone and I would still have followers. And you know what? He may have thought he was joking at the time, but it's been proven that he's absolutely correct.
Yes, he has. So, and here's the follow-up question, which brings it back into the paranormal field. What's going on right now in how this nation is divided and all of the... I don't want to say hatred, but all of the bad feelings that are being passed back and forth between the left and the right and just in normal communities. Do you think that divisiveness, that's the word? That's the proper word, Dave?
No.
No? Okay. Well, so what?
Just
I make up words all the time. I think people know what I'm saying.
Yeah.
But do you believe that all of that negative type energy that we are spewing forth all over this country is opening the door for more negative entities or more activity that is leaning negative to happen?
I don't know. That's my answer. I just don't know. Maybe. I guess it remains to be seen. I don't know that there's a way that we can gauge that. But I think that there is so much fighting. And I think the word you were looking for was divisiveness.
Yes, divisiveness. Sorry.
And I think that it exists. And I think that can't be a good thing. It just can't be a good thing.
Okay. I just thought that because you get to travel the country and I think far more people go to you for advice than us. So you would be a better knower of the that type of information.
Right. But I don't, I'm having to let you down now because I don't have an intelligent answer I can provide on that.
That's quite I don't have any
intel on it.
He's just saving it for a different show, Mike. I can tell by the way he keeps disappearing off the camera. He doesn't want to look us in the eye when he says that, so he shows us the ceiling.
I'm blowing my nose when I do the
I figured you were, Chip.
I don't want you guys to have to watch me blow my nose.
No, I appreciate that.
That was a Class A answer in our Class C show.
He's not even sure where that came from.
As you can well tell, I try to keep it classy.
All right, that was my topic. I'm done. Until okay. Later. Until later.
Okay. So, do we want to do a quick break here and do the
commercial now?
Commercials before I get into my second topic.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. Let's do it.
All right.
All righty. So we're going to be back here in just a couple minutes with our good buddy, Mr. Chip Coffee. You're listening to the Odyssey Files on Para X.
Rhett, where are you going?
I'm going back to the paranormal view, back where I belong.
Please, take me with you.
No, I'm through with everything here. I want to see if there's something left in life I haven't explored. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Oh, Rhett, don't run to them. They talk about ghosts and hauntings, UFOs and all kinds of supernatural scary stuff.
You'll never understand, will you, Scarlet?
No!
Well, that's your misfortune.
Rhett, if you go, where shall I go? What shall I do?
Frankly, my dear. Line!
Oh, you gotta be kidding.
That's the Paranormal View with your host, Henry Foister, Jeffrey Gould, and Barbara Duncan. Every Saturday night at 8 p.m. Eastern, exclusively on the Para-X Radio Network.
And during the few moments that we have left, we want to talk right down to earth in a language that everybody here can easily understand.
Your source for everything paranormal, Para-X.
UFOs, people, cryptids.
A lot of shit on the calling. Just think if you listen to the words of Para X.
Whether you're listening at home, at work, or anywhere, thanks for making Para X part of your day. Your source for everything paranormal, Para X.
Hey, it's Chris Fleming. Listen to Dave and Mike on Odyssey Files, because if you don't, you're going to get abducted. That didn't work.
And we are back. We are listening to the Odyssey Files on Para X. And with us tonight, still, thankfully, is our wonderful friend and great guest, Mr. Chip Coffey. So, Dave, you had something else that you wanted to discuss.
I do. So, Chip, I know that. Let's see, how do I want to start this? So, obviously, mental health issues are a real thing. And I would say off the top of my head, probably the two biggest ones would be, you know, for the common ones would be depression and anxiety. So my question is based on anxiety. So I've got someone close to me that suffers from major anxiety. And I'm curious if there is a way, or if you've ever seen this somehow, where that if there's a way where you could differentiate or somehow tell if the anxiety is being caused by an attachment or a spirit, or if the anxiety is just a clinical, medical, just something that's a little bit off key within the human brain and is causing this constant obsession of worry.
It's difficult. You know, I don't know that a lot of people know this about me, but I have studied traditional counseling and therapy, traditional psychology, and I'm not licensed and I don't ever profess to be, but I think that that's a very handy tool to have in conjunction with my other abilities and skill sets. I think it works well hand in hand a lot of the time. But I do know that mental health problems and psychic abilities or intuitive abilities are not mutually exclusive. You can have both. You can have paranormal stuff going on in your environment, and you can be mentally not well to some degree, psychological problems, whatever. So it's often hard to distinguish between those two things, very difficult. And, you know, I think it's very easy to say, oh, I'm not responsible, or it's not me that's doing this. It's something outside of me that's causing this. If that makes any sense, it's much easier not to take personal accountability and work on yourself rather than try to remove something that's external rather than take care of the stuff that may be internal.
Well, she totally owns it. So she's not making any excuses. So she totally owns the fact that this is happening within her and stuff like that. I'm the one who is looking outside the box to see if there is any telltale sign or any type of thing that I could pick up on potentially to not just run to the medicine cabinet, I guess, is really what I'm looking for. I'm so tired of every time somebody has something wrong, you know, your doctor's more than happy to throw a half a dozen prescriptions at you. And you see, you know, stuff on TV all the time, and they list one benefit, and then it's almost ungodly sometimes when you look at the side effects of taking this med, you know.
Yes.
And I'm not a huge proponent of that, of running to that. So I'm looking for other ways, I guess, as somebody that I care about. So
I understand that, and that happens. That happens pretty regularly. You know, there are, you know, I listen to some of the side effects on TV commercials and I'm like, oh, you're not going to have psoriasis, but you're going to be dead. So that's, it's an option.
Right. Yeah. You know, or blind, or something.
So I hear what you're saying. I would have to say that I think a lot of it, I'm not going to say that it never happens, that it's coming from an external source.
Okay.
But I would have to say that most instances it would be the exception rather than the rule.
Okay. And that's fine. I mean, that gives me an idea. But I do want to touch on something you said, which actually did not cross my mind, and I'm kind of surprised it didn't. So if a person has undeveloped abilities and their anxiety, could those two things be tied together?
Ask that question again. If they have what, an anxiety? So
if they have undeveloped psychic or mediumship abilities and they're having this anxiety, could the anxiety be something stemming from not understanding how to deal with what's happening to them as far as their psychic abilities or mediumship or whatever, whatever, something
along
those lines.
Are they manifesting intuitive abilities?
I don't know. I didn't even, that's why I said that I didn't even think of that. So now that's something else for me to look into.
If they're not saying they're manifesting intuitive abilities, then maybe you're just trying to put together a recipe that doesn't need to be put together.
Okay.
Fair enough. I knew a girl when I worked years ago. I'll give you a classic example. I knew a girl when I was younger. I worked in a private psychiatric hospital on a locked adolescent unit. And there was a 17-year-old girl on the unit who was correctly diagnosed as a paranoid schizophrenic. She thought that aliens were trying to control her mind. And anytime she would see anything like Star Trek or Lost in Space or any of those shows on television in the common room, in the day room, she would go batshit crazy. And she also was very intuitive. She knew one night during a thunderstorm that lightning was going to strike in her room, and it did. And she was very, very intuitive. I saw this girl once after a particularly heavy episode. She had a psychotic break, and she was in basically a padded room. And from observation, her head did a 180.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right in front of me and another person. And we're like, holy shit.
Yeah. Yep. I think that would be the response.
It's totally the
response. Okay.
So, yeah, I've encountered problems with people who have mental health concerns, maladies, and also are very, very psychically intuned or having paranormal occurrences occur as well.
Okay.
That's very interesting. So, I have two left, and one we don't really need to get to. But there is one thing that, and I'm hoping that you can answer this for me, because I know people are going to be like, here he goes, because it is about me. Oh, quiet, Dave.
I didn't say anything.
I know, but remember, you're on camera with me.
I know.
So, but it's not just me. So, I mean, this can obviously happen. But, Chip, have you ever heard the term cooler?
I mean, like wine cooler, water cooler?
No.
Paranormal cooler.
Paranormal cooler.
No.
Okay.
No.
So, when I started my team, I started branching out, started meeting new people. And I don't even know how it came to pass, or what topic we were on. I think I was just saying that I was wondering, I was always curious as to why activity would never be around me. Any team that I was on would never have anything happen, but the other team that was in the building, or multiple teams that were in the building, would. And I think I was talking about that, and they said that I was probably a cooler, and I've gotten two different definitions of it. One being a person that repels spirit energy, and then I was told that it was somebody that absorbs spirit energy, which makes it more difficult for them to interact. And that's why I wasn't experiencing anything, like, ever. Have you ever heard of any of those two things happening?
I know that there are those people that say nothing ever happens with me when I'm around. I've never had an experience. So in that regard, I've heard that from people. I know there are people that try very hard to tap into their psychic abilities or their intuitive sense. And no matter what they do, they just can't seem to achieve that. The other thing about absorbing something, I don't know. I've never really encountered that. I know empaths sometimes feel things very heavily and palpably. But, I don't know about, you're absorbing spirit energy. That sounds a little too Sounds a little too woo-woo to me. I'm a real down-to-earth pragmatic person, says the person who talks to dead people. But, you know, I just some things are just like, really? I hear them and I kind of go, I just can't wrap my own brain around that.
Okay. So I should probably just tell that person he doesn't know what he's talking about.
I don't know. I mean, I don't know. I would just say that probably you just haven't, it hasn't happened to you yet.
Well, since then, I mean, even before things would happen, just not with the huge frequency that it would other people. You know, it'd be probably like a 10-to-1 ratio. And I always felt bad because anytime people would come with me, I'd be like, well, come with me if you don't want to experience anything. And then nobody wants to investigate with me. But it's gotten a lot better now. But I still don't want either of those things to happen because I do want them to interact with me. I do want to know that I'm communicating with them. And so it's always been a worry to me that there was like something wrong.
Do you have any fear? Do you have fear of this?
Fear of being a cooler?
No, fear of anything paranormal? Are you pretty unafraid of it?
Yeah,
I mean,
pretty
there's
much.
There's a difference between being afraid and being cautious. So
well, I'm always cautious.
I don't know what's, and I think caution is great. I'm cautious, but I'm not fearful. So I don't know, what do you think? What do you think is your block? What do you think is your block? If there is one.
I honestly don't know because I mean I'm always there and I'm never the only time that I can say I've ever been even anxious is either when I'm in an active location by myself, which has only happened recently, or when I have to sleep in a haunted
location.
Are
you respectful to the energies around you?
Oh, 100%. I mean, yeah. that's like prime. You know, that's my prime directive. You don't do anything disrespectful. But
then I don't know I don't know what the F's wrong with you.
Yes, Dave.
All right. So I think I've known Mike for a long time, and I was there when he first started. I think that there's a potential that Mike is looking for the grand slam of like paranormal,
the Holy Grail.
The Holy Grail of the paranormal. And so there are things that happen to him because I've been out with him multiple times that we've been together. When we have had activity together, and I get activity all the time. Every time I'm out, I get activity. So I think that those things happen, but I don't know. I don't want this to sound bad. And this isn't like a critique. It's just kind of my observation is that it's not satisfying you. Those things aren't satisfying you anymore, and you're looking for the bigger thing. And so I think if you have a block, a potential block, and I put that in air quotes, that is your block, is that you're only recognizing the home run. You're looking for the home run, and you're not necessarily focusing in on the other things.
Setting the bar too high?
Possibly. I think that would be a somewhat accurate description from my standpoint.
I say I 50% disagree with you on that one. I
50% disagree with me on everything. If I told you mac and cheese was the bomb, you would still disagree with me even though you love it. So
I love mac and cheese. I know you 100% do. Agree with you on that one. So you're already wrong. So, but I do love the Grand Slam. Go big or go home. But I just don't hear or see like 90% of what you do.
Right.
On Casey. So I'm not going to, you know, when you say I hear footsteps, I'm not going to be like, well, me too. I'm not going to Zach Bagans you.
Right.
But,
well, I appreciate that. Yeah.
You know, so I'm gonna be like, I don't hear anything. But I have heard footsteps and I get really excited when I hear footsteps because I almost never hear them. It seems that when I do get activity, I get really, really excited by that. So I'm not missing out or being like not satisfied with like a disembodied voice or footsteps. I love that stuff. But yes, I do agree that just my own personality standpoint, I do love the home run, which hasn't happened yet. Right. Hit a lot of doubles. But
you're just being bullied by the spirit world.
Am I?
Yeah.
Why are they so mean to me?
I don't know. I don't know. But, they should be nice.
I agree. They should talk to me more. Just not in my house.
Maybe if you cry or show that tender, soft underbelly, maybe that'll work.
I try to do that.
No.
What do you mean, no? You're not with me all the time. Anyway, there is one other thing that adds to that. And it's something that was told to me. I had a very powerful medium on my team a couple years back. And I would in all of my home investigations, I try to do a compromise. You know, here's what the living need, and I understand you have needs too. So is there any way we can come to a compromise so everybody can be happy? You know, we don't need to get rid of you as long as you're willing to live alongside them and just not do what's scaring the living crap out of the living. And so I would try to explain this to the spirits, and then I would ask her, I'm like, are they understanding what I'm saying? Are they agreeing to it? You know, that kind of thing, because they're not interacting with me.
Right.
And she would always tell me that they're like, that they do. Like, they're not, even though the personality of the spirit doesn't mix with it, that they were always just like, yeah, or fine. You know, like they would disgruntledly agree with me. Whatever I was asking them to do, and then the activity would dissipate and would go away. The client would have no more problems. Is that normal? I mean, are they? Because obviously, like most people, I see all of these paranormal survivor, paranormal witness, you know, a haunting, all these dramatic shows where it led to nothing but, you know, saging and exorcism and all these other things. I never see any shows or anything that's just like, yeah, we talked to him, we came to a compromise, activity ceased. I mean, is that a normal thing when it comes to the spirit world and people who don't really have mediumship abilities?
Well, you've got to take into consideration that when you see the stuff on the television, that you are... they're showing you the most sensational.
Yeah, the worst of the worst.
They want,
yeah.
You know, every network that I've ever dealt with has said, well, it needs to be spookier. Get it spooky. Make it spooky. Make it spooky. So they want you to be, they want people to be, you know, sitting on the edge of their seat and kind of cringing every now and then. So I do think it's absolutely possible to compromise and make concessions with the dead so that it's possible to share a space with the dead. And if they're, it's like having a live house guest. You own this house, or you, this is your space now as a living, in the living world. And if they're also inhabiting this space, they basically are your guest, even though they may not feel like they are. We're in the third dimension now. And the interesting part, somebody said to me once, well, maybe we're invading their space, like in the others. But I don't see it as that. I think that what you can do is you can set some rules if they're misbehaving, and let them know that if you're not going to kind of go by my house rules, I'm going to do my best to get rid of you.
That's actually kind of what we do. It's just, you know, is there something you need? Is there something? And I've had it be go down to, I've contacted the client, you know, after a couple weeks to see how they're doing. And it's like, yeah, the basement door opens and closes every once in a while, and that's it. And they're like, okay, that's it. They don't care anymore.
Right.
So I guess that brings up a follow-up question. Do you believe people's fear of the paranormal or the activity that's in their home stems from not knowing what it is? And once that's alleviated, they're fine with it?
I think that people have watched too many horror movies and TV shows. I think that they're anticipating the worst.
Yep.
I have people call me and go, I'm so scared that, you know, I hear voices in my house and doors open and close and things move around and, you know, your walls aren't bleeding.
Right.
No one's being assaulted. You know, you're not smelling foul, vulgar odors through your house. So chill the F out.
Right.
There are dead people everywhere. You know, just tell them, don't startle me. Don't cause any upset in my home. And lots of times they may not even realize they're doing it and really spell it out. You know, you're scaring my kid, or when you show up, when I'm walking around a corner, or when I'm alone in the house, that unnerves me. So please don't do that. You know, and so they may not know that what they're doing is causing you upset. So it becomes basically what I call a reclaiming of your space. It's reclamation of your own personal space.
Yes, 100% agree.
Yep.
Crap, I had a question and then I lost it.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, I know. That's all right. So I have one more topic that I really wanted to discuss with you. Multiple, but we only have time for one. So I have come across a lot of people, including one of my own investigators, who have kids, and they believe that their kids are developing like mediumship psychic abilities, because they're seeing and they're hearing voices, they're getting woken up at night, and they can describe who they're seeing. And the constant question for the parent is always, how do I help them? How do I make them understand what's going on? Do you have any, just, I know it's probably a long, long process, but do you have any advice for parents and people, or even just them, on how, maybe it's a friend,
The first step, how they can help. The first step is to read this really cool book called Growing Up Psychic by this guy named Chip Coffey. That was a hefty plug, shameless. But it really is a good jumping off point for anybody who is helping to raise a psychic kid. And that is a parent, a grandparent, another relative, a teacher, a counselor, a doctor, a minister, whatever. So, you know, I think it gives a lot of good information, my book does. The other thing you've got to take into account is, what is the age of the child? Because until you reach about the age of adolescence, you've probably got a really healthy dose of imagination that's blended in with actual experience. And sometimes it's more one than the other, but I don't know how you determine that. I often tell parents of young kids to put a nanny cam or a hidden camera in their kid's bedroom and see if the kids are manipulating the parents to just get attention. What you also have to realize is that you just said something, and that is, I've got people on my team. Okay. So these kids are the children of people interested in the paranormal. So these kids probably have absorbed some things or heard their parents talking about ghosts and goblins and boogers and stuff like that that are around, and may have watched some of the shows. The first thing I do when I go in on an investigation is look at people's bookshelves and their DVDs. Is it loaded with ghost adventures, ghost hunters, paranormal state, kindred spirits? What have they got, and what books are they reading? Are they reading It and horror stories and books by John Edward and James Van Prague and whatever? Are they already primed? Have they sensitized themselves to this stuff? So it's difficult with kids particularly. But honestly, raising a psychic kid is not hugely different than raising any other kid, as long as there's nothing negative going on. Love your kid, protect your kid, listen to your kid, believe your kid, defend your kid. And don't make a big deal about the psychic stuff. My parents never made it a big deal. And it never really was one.
Perfect. Well, I appreciate that. So Chip, with the final couple minutes here, I know you have been very, very busy out there traveling and going to events and stuff, and you have a lot of really big stuff coming up. Why don't you tell us about that?
As far as I know right now, the air dates that I'm going to mention are tentative, but kind of probably not subject to much change at this point in time. On October 7th and 14th on the Travel Channel, I am slated to be on episodes of Expedition Unknown with Josh Gates. And on the 7th, there's an after show after the regular episode. And we're going to be discussing the show that I did, the episode that I did on the after show. My segment has a cliffhanger, from what I'm told, that goes from the episode on the 7th to the one on the 14th. So I haven't seen the rough cut or anything of the episode, but I'm told it looks great. I can't confirm or deny that I may be working with Amy Bruni and Adam Berry on something, but I could tell you, but then I'd have to kill you, but then I could still talk to you. So
that is true.
I love that. That's a great line. That's a great line.
So yeah,
not that he's going to kill you.
That's kind of what's going on. You know, I got asked recently, by a network executive who said, "Well, we should talk to you about your own show." And I'm like, "I'm not sure I want one." And they were like, "What? I don't think they ever hear that." And I'm like, "I'm not sure I really want one." And they said, "Well, why not?" And I said, "You want my honest answer? It's too much work. And I'm kind of happy just floating into other people's shows and just showing up every now and then and coming back home and laying on the couch with my dogs instead of going out on the road for an extended period of time and schlepping from airport to airport and rental car and hotels and getting sick like I'm sick right now and being on the road so much. So I'm kind of happy with the way things are right now. So hopefully I'll keep getting asked to be on other people's shows.
And when you're not doing that in 3 weeks, you are going to be up here in Minnesota at Monoman at Paracon.
Where every time I go to Monoman, Minnesota, I get what? Sick.
What?
No.
Well, see, every now you're pre-sick.
Every time I bet I'm going to one-up Monoman this time, I'm already freaking sick. Yeah. So kiss it, Monoman. You're not going to make me sick.
No.
Watch Monoman kill me this time. It'll be like they'll carry me out. Josh Gates had to go out one time because he was like really, really having medical stuff. I've known a couple of people have to go out because of medical stuff up there. The speakers is like, I don't know who's pissed off at us in Monoman, but somebody actually must not like paranormal speakers in Monoman.
Well, you got to stay away from the buffet. We had the buffet last year and it was terrible. So just stay away from the buffet and you'll be fine.
Yeah. I'm not. Yeah. No thanks.
Yeah.
No thanks.
Well, Dave and I will also be there.
Yay!
Just for other people. For if you need an even more a bigger reason to. No, that was wrong. Not a bigger reason. But if you want an added, there we go.
Additional reason
to come to Paracon this year, which is October 12th and 13th.
No, what you should have said is, we're going to be there. And by the way, some guy named Chip Coffee's also going to be there. But I would have gone with that 100%.
Well, that's next week. Next week, we're going to say that. Not while you're on the show.
Yeah.
Wow.
Now all of a sudden you're not. Now all of a sudden you're not okay with that.
Well, if I say it, it's fine.
Oh,
but if you sort of say it in front of my face, I would kind of take it with a good sense of humor. But now that you're going to use it behind my back, I'm going to call you bitches.
Hey, wait, Mike said it, not me. Don't name it all.
You're forgiven,
even though you didn't do anything. But you're not.
Well, that's why Dave is the talent and I'm the not talent.
I'm going to cough on you when I see you.
It's fine. You won't be sick by then.
No, you'll be healthy by the time you show up there.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'll bring some fireball just in case.
But I am definitely looking forward to shaking your hand, Mr. Coffee, and hopefully hanging out for a bit. So
it'll be fun.
It will be fun.
It will be a really, really great time this year. So that's all the time that we have for us tonight. In fact, we're over by a couple seconds. Sorry, Rebecca. So, Chip, thank you very much.
Thank you.
I really appreciate you coming back on, and especially being sick and doing it anyway.
It's always a pleasure to come back on the show with you guys.
Thanks, Chip.
Thank you, gentlemen.
That's all the time that we have. We'll be on next week with another phenomenal guest. So we'll see you next week. Have a good night.